You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Leo Weiss episode. My favorite part of his interview was talking about Asian men on dating sites. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome for the first time, Leo Weiss. What's up, my man?
Hey, it's good to be here.
I've been waiting to meet you. Yeah. It's been weird. It's like people have been just throwing your name, you know. So shout out to Lumi Ray.
Right.
Shout out to Kitty.
Yeah,
because you got thrown in the mix.
Right. It was a big surprise for me, you know.
Yeah.
First time I found about you was when Lumi was promoting her view, her time here.
Yeah.
And you just guys mentioned you were talking about Asian male porn stars. So I was like, oh, I got to tune in to see what you guys are talking about.
Because I know nothing. Right. You're my first one.
Okay, nice.
We never grew up that way.
Right, no.
So the white guy or black guy.
Right.
But continue. I'm going to love this.
So no, yeah, it was really interesting that like I... As you said, like, you know, growing up, there wasn't really a lot of Asian men in the porn and adult entertainment. Exactly. It was like zero. Right. And it seemed like we got a little bit better as time went on, but it was always like there could only be one at a time. Mm-hmm. And when one person leaves, there's a huge gap. And then it's like years later, another one comes in.
And we mentioned that before we started filming. It's like with Asian culture, they have this, I could be the only one.
Right.
I could be the only one actor.
We can only have one Asian rapper at a time, right?
One good
like
actor.
Jin, and then like he disappears for a while,
oh,
and
right,
then
right,
like,
right.
You
that's
know.
That's a great
like,
example. I remember, yeah, that's a great example, Jin, right?
Right.
I remember it's like, oh, he's the guy.
Yeah.
Because Rough Rider signed
exactly,
him. And then he battled all those dudes on 106 and Park.
Right.
And then everyone knew, like you knew about him.
Exactly. He had the heat for a moment. Mm-hmm. Everyone was talking about him, but it was like, so, but there can only be one because there was Jin, and then his album didn't do that well. And then there was like, we're not going to let another Asian guy in the rap game for a while,
until like Dumbfounded or something like that. But there was an Asian crew from Philly called the Mountain Brothers.
Oh, really?
There were three Chinese guys.
Gotcha.
Chops and those other dudes, Parallel. And they did a Sprite commercial. I remember seeing them on TV, and I'm like, dude, they rap, and they're on a Sprite commercial.
Nice.
Yeah, look them up. So shout out to Mountain Brothers. This is like 95, 96.
Okay.
But yeah, and so nowadays it'd be like it could be there could be only Steven Yeun.
Right.
You know, but he really is the dude.
Right. Well, we also got Simu Liu too right now too, right? So it's so if we're a little bit better, they're like, okay, we'll let a handful of you guys in at the same time, but still you can't really have that many, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's but the thing is I never was that type of guy. Like I like seeing other Asian cats doing their thing. I'm like, oh, dope. Right. Like Lucy Liu doing her thing, and then even back to John Woo when he was, you know, all that stuff.
Well, it's that whole, it's the whole thing about like representation matters, because if you don't see anybody like you doing something, you kind of just feel like, well, I just can't do it. Like, even if I want to do it, I just, the opportunity isn't there, because if it was, wouldn't other people like me be doing it?
Right, right, like, right, right. And I told you even like, when you first came in here, because I was so obsessed, like I wanted to meet you so bad because I had so many questions. Because I grew up in a time where, like, I took an Asian studies class, and it's because Asians are desexualized.
Oh, right.
And they're not portrayed as masculine.
Do you know part of where that came from?
Go ahead.
My understanding is it was the first person to be considered a Hollywood heartthrob was a Japanese American actor. And I think after the Asian Exclusion Act and all this stuff, it went super anti-Asian afterwards.
What's what was his name again?
I don't know.
That dude from...
off the top of my head.
Wasn't he in the John Woo movies? That dude from Crouching Tiger? In Hard Boiled? I'm thinking about...
You're thinking way too late, though, because this was like early in the days of Hollywood. Way back. But,
okay.
But yeah, apparently the first like official Hollywood heartthrob was like a Japanese-American guy. Yeah, that guy right there.
Wait, what was his name?
Sisui
Hayakawa. Shout out to him.
Right.
Yeah.
So I feel like that probably is why we got demasculated afterwards, because they were like, oh, we can't have an Asian guy just taking all the women, so we got to start saying these things, right?
But you just touched upon a point that's interesting to me. Why do you think they felt threatened by that?
There was a lot that was going on during that time. A lot of anti-Asian sentiment. You know, the only group in all of America that was ever legally denied citizenship was Chinese people, right? The Chinese Exclusion
Act. They forced them to work the railroads in San Francisco.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? On the West Coast.
They worked the railroads from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast. Then once they got to the West Coast, they had them pan the gold.
Yeah.
And then after the panning the gold, then they were like, hey, you guys are getting a little too much money, a little too much power, a little too much fame. We don't like that. And then we were kind of all, you know.
And then fast forward to during World War II, like Pearl
the
Harbor, the
Japanese
internment
camp.
Exactly.
And even that one, my understanding of history was that I think even the Pentagon or so forth, the military at the time was like, oh, there's not really a threat from Asian, from Japanese Americans, but it was a lot of white business owners that were like, no, they should probably get locked up. And then when they were locked up, all the property got seized. And then a lot of them, when they got out of the internment camp, they went back to their homes or businesses. And it was like, oh, now this belongs to white people. Like, okay.
You know, and this is another trippy thing is, you know, as far as interracial relationships or whatnot, we're so desensitized because I'm so used to seeing a white man with the Asian woman.
Right.
But then when they see the flip side of that, if it's a Asian dude with a white woman, that's like lock him up. You know what I mean? Like throw away the key, lock him up. That's not acceptable.
Right. People have questions when they see that. You know what
I mean?
No questions when it's like a white dude, Asian woman. No questions asked. When Asian dude, white woman,
but
suddenly
why
it's like...
Why is that?
Again, just...
Is it because we're seen as a threat? Is it threatening?
I think over time... I think we were seen as a threat back then, and now we're... The stigma has been there for so long. People just take the stereotypes as facts. You know what I mean? And it's like... Like, so back when I was on Tinder and, like, you know, just casually dating and stuff like that.
I was going to bring this up. Okay. Dating Asian males on dating sites. Right. But continue.
So I matched with this one white girl who was just like, yeah, we're both just trying to fuck, right? And before we even got a chance to fuck and so forth, she just pretty much was like, hey, you're cute. Like, I want you to come over and fuck, but can you send me a picture of your dick? Because I just want to make sure it's not, like, super small. And it's like,
hold up, man. So she just assumed you had a micro penis?
Because she only knew from the stereotypes. Like, she had never been with another Asian guy. She didn't, like, all she ever heard growing up was Asian guys are just smaller, right?
So where, okay, I love, because... We bring up micro penises all the time. Every other week, we talk about micro penises. Right. What is it Why do Asians get that stereotype?
I have theories on this one.
Rice dick. Oh, rice dick.
And again, part of the theories is that it's the
my intern just rolled her eyeballs. I'm so sorry. We can edit that out. But no, but they used, we grew up with that Chinese.
No, exactly, right.
All that.
Right, yeah, and again, it's part of the whole the Western culture of demasculating Asian, because at one point we were getting all the good jobs. We were, you know, we were Hollywood heartthrobs. Mm. We were doing all these good things that they didn't really like. So it was easy for them to otherize us. Mm. And then I think also what happened was that after World War II and so forth, right, like, China, a lot of Asian countries were very war-torn, very impoverished.
Or even
so
Cambodia,
so,
dude. A lot of them came to, like, and moved to Long Beach. And,
but not even just that, just the fact that, like, they were very impoverished, very, you know, their nutrition wasn't the greatest because food and eating wasn't the greatest, right?
Right.
So compared to Western people and Western diets, we were smaller. And my example, it's not a genetic thing. It's sort of like a dietary thing, because look at North Koreans versus South Koreans. They're both Koreans.
Oh,
but if you ever see the North Korean soldiers next to the South Korean soldiers,
they're pale. And, yeah,
right. Like
they're
the South Korean soldiers are almost like a foot taller than the North Korean soldiers.
Oh,
and that's like, that's not a genetic issue because they're both the same Koreans.
So you're saying if they had a better diet,
right?
Does that make your dick bigger?
It makes you just overall bigger, right?
Like, don't be laughing, man. I'm trying to get to the bottom of it.
I think it just generally overall makes you develop bigger, right?
Yeah, I
grew up here in the West eating Western diets and so forth. I am 6 foot tall and, you know, like...
And you have no micropenis.
No, I do not. Kira Kavouch, I do not have a micropenis. Yeah.
And you don't. Hey, man, keep doing your thing.
Oh, yeah,
hey,
you know.
I'm not hating at all, man.
So I think that's part of where it led into too, was that people were taking that as if it was a genetic thing on our end.
Yeah, it's
where it's sort of more of a
dietary thing.
Right. We're torn, famished, and just impoverished people.
Mm-hmm.
And like you see the same issue in any place that's war torn, impoverished, and you know, like dealing with poverty and those issues, you're not getting great nutrition. That's just kind of what it is.
So can I go back to the Tinder situation?
Yeah, yeah.
So did you send her?
Of course. I sent her a dick pic and then I never went over there and just ghosted her. So.
Oh, really? Now, so just for pointers and stuff, like, how is one supposed to take? You do it from the bottom or the top?
You know, that is a tricky one. Do what works for you to make your penis show in the best light. But try not to lie about it, because if the whole point is they're going to see it in person, you don't want to be too far off, right?
Like, no, is it good to moisturize, like maybe put lotion on it to make it glossier?
If you have an ashy penis, yes, moisturize that thing. Like,
okay, my next question is this. Okay, I'm sorry. What about if your penis is fine, but you have an ashy nutsack?
Moisturize.
Get your CeraVe today.
I love the segue.
I'm sorry. Maybe if CeraVe watches this, because I've been using their products everywhere. Where'd you grow up initially?
I was born in Taipei, Taiwan, and I moved to the United States, the San Francisco Bay Area, when I was about 5 years old. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in the Bay Area.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I went to college down here in Southern California, but most of it's just been here in California, splitting my time between North and South.
That's what's up. Yeah. And then growing up, like, so you went to high school up in the Bay or down here?
Yeah, up in the Bay. College down in Southern California, back to the Bay for a little bit, then San Diego for a bit, then back to the Bay, and then now I'm here in LA.
San Diego, where in San Diego?
I was in North Park for a bit.
Okay, because I went to Poway.
Oh, okay, nice. Okay.
So shout out to Coach Branstetter. Right. The Pyro wrestling team.
Oh, you wrestled? Or
yeah,
I wrestle too.
Well, wait.
I started off 135 my freshman year. I ended up 154 as my senior year.
What?
So.
You wrestled?
Yeah,
103.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I was a little guy.
Ah, nice.
But my senior year, I had to cut down from 115. I was
okay. You're still going down to 103s though, right?
Yeah. What high school?
Let's not out that.
Okay. Out from Poway, you know, we're known for our wrestling program.
Okay, yeah.
Now it's Buchanan. They're winning all the titles.
No, Poway was huge when I was wrestling. And the high school I went to, I'll give you guys just enough clues and tidbits. Back in the day, used to be known for
Southern
wrestling.
You can at least say Southern section.
Right? No. North Coast. North Coast sections. NCS.
Okay, gotcha.
So we used to be known for wrestling way back in the day. And then we went through like a 30-year drought of not being good at all at wrestling. And then by the time I got there, I was the beginning of the renaissance of the wrestling program. It was a very short-lived renaissance, yeah. And I missed the peak of the renaissance. But
far as winning, placing at sections.
Right, we went as a team. We went from nobody even consider us being a sectional team to my senior year, we took 10th as a team at sectionals that year. And then about 2 years later, they took sectionals as a team.
And then how many qualified for state?
In my year, I think only one of us qualified for state.
Well, that's something.
And I was actually going into my senior year of the preseason. I was in ranked top 50 in the state of California for the weight class.
Yeah.
I just had really bad luck my senior year. And I got a really bad high ankle sprain before the season started. Mm-hmm. They thought I was going to be out. I recovered just in time for the first tournament, went in there, took first place, dominated, went to the second tournament of the year, and I broke my hand.
Oh, my. In a match?
Yeah, in a match. I got freak accident. I got caught behind the guy's headgear as we tied up. And then before I can slip my finger back out, he snapped my hand off, and then just boom. Broke my hand right in the middle, right there.
This was at a tournament during the season?
In the middle of the tournament. He broke my hand in the middle of the tournament. I still beat him in that match. Went on to win the next match. And then made it to the semifinals. And then after all that, once the adrenaline cooled down and my hand started hurting, I lost every match after the semifinals.
Well, at least you took sixth place.
Yes, I did place. Sixth
is the lowest.
32-man bracket.
Oh, you said 32-man bracket.
Yeah.
So that was no chump change tournament. That was a reputable tournament.
It was a pretty reputable tournament up there. Huh. It was a pretty big,
back in my day, it was five counties. Five counties at Fountain.
For you guys, that was the big
one. Yeah, that was a big one.
Right.
But then later, it became Battle of the Belt or something like that.
Okay, for us, the one big one a year for us up there was the... Oh, I forgot what the name of it, but it was the...
El Dorado, maybe?
No, it was James Logan, I think. That was the big one.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't... It was a school in Fremont, but it was
big one.
Oh,
they had
some
killers back then. They had the Boris Novotny.
Okay.
The Novotny's brothers, yeah.
And then because that was ultimately the same, that tournament pretty much had every school that was going to be at NCS was at that
Fremont
tournament.
Fremont was, there were red and white, red and white singlets.
So
yeah.
I just remember that being the big one to get you ready for North Coast because that tournament, all the people who are going to be at North Coast are at that tournament. So that's your one shot to see how you're going to do at North Coast.
Right.
You know?
So the way you qualified in San Diego sections, there was CIF. Top six in each weight division goes to Masters.
Oh, okay.
The top four in each weight division goes to state.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Ours was, it was just went from league to sections, and then top three in sections went to state.
Oh.
And then they extended it to top four the year after I graduated.
This is the last thing I thought we were going to talk about. Oh, yeah. I had no idea you wrestled.
I love talking about high school wrestling.
Can I be honest with you? I was ranked second.
Oh, nice.
In my weight.
Okay.
But I always choked at state.
Oh, man.
Because back then it was at the Stockton.
Yes.
Stockton.
At University Pacific.
Yeah. So you know about that.
Yeah, in the Coliseum.
Oh, yeah.
You were a gladiator.
Oh,
you walked
dude,
out
I get
the
night terrors thinking about it.
Oh, because you had the gladiator walk. You were a legitimate gladiator. Oh,
please report to the tunnel 103. Right. And it was like an arena.
Yeah, it was an actual gladiator style arena.
So you've been there.
Yeah.
So it's a huge arena, and... And then every dude that placed, I beat during the season.
Oh,
I'm like, I beat that guy at El Dorado. I beat him at Five Counties. I beat him at El Cajon. I beat all those guys.
That's how I felt going in my senior year, going to the state tournament to be like, I didn't make it to state. And then seeing the guys be like, I beat that guy. I beat that guy. I beat
placed.
That guy. Easily. I should have been in top eight. Should have placed.
Yeah, yeah. My God.
The story was because I had broken my hand. I was out all season. By the time I returned at the end of the season, my ranking was so low because I didn't wrestle all year.
Yeah.
That I was literally going into my league. I was the eighth seed in an 8-man tournament. Then I took, and I ended up losing to the guy who took first. So I ended up taking third going into sections. And then you know what my seeding in North Coast was?
No.
32. I wrestled number one first thing in the morning.
So and was it a double elimination?
Double elimination, but I lost to number one in a very close match.
So you were close.
Very close match.
Did he take you down at the end or something?
No. What happened was, it was the first time we ever faced each other off because I've been injured all year. So we never faced each other. He caught me right off the bat at the beginning of the match. Got the score up really high.
With a double leg? Or?
I think it was a takedown and a cradle near
fall.
Pin.
So that was a 5-point move.
Yeah. So he ultimately, it was like 9-0 at one point where he was kind of whipping my ass.
Ooh.
But then I figured him out and I realized his neutral game was horrible. Third round comes 2 minutes and it was just me. Take him down, lit him up. Take him down, lit him up. Take him down, lit him up.
That's the way
take him down,
do
lit
it.
Him up.
That's,
I ran out of time. And I ran out of time, and the final score ended up being like 11-7 or something like that. So like I was catching up, and you know, like every time you let him up, he gets the one,
yeah,
right? So
it's like, he gets one point.
If there was 30 more seconds, I would have easily just like taken down, let him up, taken down, let him up, taken down, beat him.
I'm telling you, if you would have done that and it went to overtime, think you would have beat
him.
No,
for sure.
Because a lot of wrestling, people don't realize, I'm realizing it now, is all mental.
Oh, yeah. No, because the thing
it's all mental.
The thing is, when I started doing that to him, I literally saw the fear of God in his eyes. I saw him mentally break.
No, because if you're a top seed, because I got this way. Like, if you're a top
you
seed
think,
and
you
a
think,
no-name dude
and a
is taking you down.
You think number 32, you're going to walk right over him, right?
Well, it messes with your head. Yeah. You're like, in your mind, you're like, I shouldn't be getting taken down right now.
And that was the thing. I saw the literal fear of God. I saw the snap in him.
Yeah.
And I saw the absolute sigh of relief when that whistle blew.
Oh.
And he was just panicking. There was nothing he could do.
Mm-hmm.
He was just being embarrassed on the mat. But that whistle blew, time ran out, and it was like 11-7. And I was just like, fuck.
Yeah.
And then I had to fight the back bracket all the way up through
the entire tournament.
Too,
all that,
and
all the back end of the bracket. Yeah,
and then,
you had 7 matches to go.
Exactly. And you can't fuck up on any of
those. No.
Otherwise,
you're
out.
Yeah.
And
I'd rather lose in the quarters of the semis.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have a chance to redeem yourself.
Yeah.
And you might even lose 2 and still be okay, depending on how far you made it up the tournament.
Yeah.
But since it was double elimination and I lost the first one to number 1 seed,
yeah,
I had the super long, hard route. Fought all the way up, and then it was the quarters is where I lost in a very close match to somebody who I also didn't face, and it was just he was just this really stacked like brick house that I just my style
yeah,
just
Greco,
couldn't
kind of a Greco body
yeah my
yeah,
style
yeah,
just
Greco-Roman.
Couldn't figure him out in time
yeah.
And I think he ended up winning in a very like 4-2 match or something like that, so it was close but just
yeah
I couldn't.
And this is Ken California
yeah.
People don't realize this. There were some Asian killers.
Oh no, for
up.
Sure.
Like I'll name a few. Like right. Growing up, I mean, there's this kid, Michael Kawamara from Rosemead.
Mm, okay.
He ended up beating me. He beat me as a freshman at state. I beat him earlier on in the year, but he ended up upsetting me in my second match.
Okay. And see, the thing about California,
but he placed every single year. He took 5th. 3rd, 2nd, and 1st.
Mm-hmm.
End up getting a scholarship to Arizona State.
Oh, okay.
Sean Kim is another one. Kim, yeah. Can you name a few? Johnson. There's a guy named something Johnson.
Honestly, I remember there were some absolute
killers.
Asian dudes.
Killers.
That, yeah, in the North Coast that just dominated.
Oh, dude.
But it's been so many years now at this point, I don't remember their names off the top of my head. That's the thing, you know?
Yeah.
But
I have no idea you wrestled, man. This is making me happy, dude.
And you know, the thing I always talk about, too, is California isn't known as a wrestling state, but in high school wrestling, I think it's possibly the hardest wrestling like thing.
You know why? We have one
exactly.
state tournament. There's not. It's we're not broken into different.
Right. Like I hear
like,
other. I heard other states.
You know
like Pennsylvania and so forth. They'd be like, oh,
there's 4 state tournaments.
Yeah.
It's like
and
no.
California is one state tournament for the entire state of California
mm-hmm.
for the what is it? Hundreds of thousands of schools in California.
No, but
like,
there's some killer states like Jersey's hard.
Right.
Pennsylvania.
They are hard, but then again,
Ohio maybe.
But they break into different sections, so you
mm-hmm.
can have like you have 4 different state champions from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, well, which one of you is really the state champion? Because we have 1 in California,
yeah.
And if you're the state champion in California, you beat everybody
yeah.
in California.
Do you still follow it?
Occasionally, I go through these weird bouts where I'm like, let me YouTube and see what's going on in the world of high school California
dude,
wrestling.
I am addicted. Dude, I'm obsessed.
Right. Every once every 4 years when the Olympics comes, you know, you have to stay up till like 3 in the morning to
mm-hmm.
watch the one like 5 minutes clips of wrestling they'll show.
Yeah, like Kyle Dake.
Yeah.
Like that dude is, I mean, Cornell.
Right.
You know, like speaking of Cornell, even I got a letter from their call. This is before, there's a Korean guy. Travis Lee.
Mm, okay.
Cornell, little guy, 125,
okay.
130,
oh, wow.
Two-time NCAA champion.
Oh, wow, nice.
I think one of the first 4 Cornell. But I got a letter from Cornell, but I'm like, you know, that's
yeah.
Ivy League, but it's like, that's expensive, man.
Yeah, another funny wrestling story was my junior year, going into my senior year, the summer in between, right?
Mm-hmm.
We went to a wrestling camp down here in, I want to say Pomona, maybe. Mm. And we went to wrestling camp, and there was a coach from Emory Riddle University that brought the number one ranked guy from Arizona, going to be a senior, to that wrestling tournament, the wrestling camp. Mm-hmm. Me and him faced off twice. I beat him both times, and by the end of the wrestling camp, the coach from Emory Riddle had offered me a scholarship.
That's amazing.
And I turned it down because I didn't know what Emory Riddle School was.
Right, like. Right. But you could have wrestled then, there?
Yeah, for, like, he was like, I will get you a scholarship.
Like, I'll a full-on scholarship.
I don't know the amount of scholarship. He just said, you know, I could talk to the head coach. I can pull some strings. We could get you a scholarship. If you're interested, we can do these things to get you to the school.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, thanks, but no thanks. I don't, you know, like, I didn't know Emory Riddle. I knew it was kind of an aeronautical school, but I didn't know much about it.
Where was it located?
It's in Arizona.
Oh, so that's what's up.
That's why they bought the Arizona kid, because that was their guy that they were, you know, keeping
an eye
on. Oh,
their program is coming back in a major way. Shout out to Zeke Jones. You're doing a fantastic job. One last, these two brothers, the Terrell brothers from American, too. Okay. David, he plays fourth years back. Yeah, but
nice.
Man, that was cool. That was refreshing. I had no idea. I could talk wrestling. You know what? I always fantasize. I mean, if I didn't do this type of podcast, I would do a geek wrestling channel.
Right. It's such a
you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's such a niche thing that it's hard to find someone to talk about.
Oh yeah.
But when you do, you're like, finally,
I was like 20 something. Right? I mean, that was half the podcast now. I want to get back to, you know.
Oh yeah, you have a list. You have a list. Okay. Go for it.
So, a Tinder thing done. One thing about Asian masculinity and the way Asians were portrayed, there used to be like white actors that would put in the buck tape.
Oh, right.
Like,
the yellow face, right?
Oh, like, yeah, they would do that. As far as when did you get into the industry, your industry?
It's a tricky one about when I officially got in, because for me, it was sort of a slow burn. I was doing a lot for years. I was backtrack a little bit. I used to work in the video game industry before this, right?
Really?
Yeah, and I worked in the marketing department of one of the major video game publishers. And again, not to get too specific.
No,
because,
it's fine. Do you still game though?
Yeah, no, all the time.
You're on Warzone, or
so? Yeah, I love Warzone.
Can you put your gamer tag? Yeah. I'm on it every night.
Oh, okay, nice.
I'm hard.
I've been streaming Elden Ring a lot lately.
Okay. So you're into those games?
I'm into all sorts of games.
Skyrim, all that.
I haven't played Skyrim just because I didn't want to invest the time into that.
Dude, but Elden Ring is kind of
I love the fantasy setting, you know?
So what about Fallout?
Oh, I love Fallout 3. Fallout 4 was a little bit...
Have you heard of this new one, Starfield? It's coming out in a couple years.
Yeah, I will wait to see what the reviews are, because Bethesda is hit or miss at a lot of times.
Oh, wait a minute. No. Wait, timestamp that. Bethesda's hit or miss. I've spent so many hours playing their games.
Again, yeah, but then at the same time, I'm like, I don't think Fallout 4 was nearly as good as 3, and the Fallout 76 wasn't nearly as good. All right. So that's what I mean by, like...
What about New Vegas?
I haven't played New Vegas, but from everything I heard, it is a masterpiece, and I will eventually play that when I have the time to play it.
Yeah, if you got time to play it. I had no idea. How many are there other people in your industry that like are gamers?
There's actually a lot, actually.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. And then how long you been playing Warzone, like?
Oh, since Warzone came out.
I mean, so what's your meta weapon? What's your main weapon you're using?
Honestly,
we're starting to geek out right now. Right. People are like, I want to hear about where's the dick?
Where's the dick in the pussy talk? That's not important.
We're talking about wrestling and video games.
I'm usually the designated sniper for the group. So I have the AX-50, and I'm usually the one that's the...
What scope is on that thing?
It's the stock sniper scope.
Oh, really?
You know?
Because
it's one of those things where I figured... Let me master the tool, and then that way, whatever I'm doing with it. So I had the same setup since pretty much the game came out. Mm-hmm. I know they nerfed it, buffed it, did all sorts of things to it, but I know how this gun reacts.
Yeah, the recoil.
Exactly. So like, I know the distance and so forth. So now when I see spots from super far away, this is gonna hit for sure. I got this.
So you get head hits.
Yeah. So I'm usually the annoying jerk that's sniping everybody while the rest of the team is closing the gap.
Right.
And then while they're dealing with the team, they're still getting sniped from somebody from far away.
Yeah. What about your short range SMG?
I got the PPSH right now. That's what I'm rocking for that. But
and they so that's why I know he's for real. Yeah. He said the name of the thing, and yeah. I'm like, oh, I just picked that up the other night. You know why I like the PPSH? Right. Is the fire rate.
Yeah.
It's like...
No, no, it's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. And I the slate scope, yeah.
I think it got nerfed a little bit in the last couple updates ago. Yeah, it's still usable, but it's not what it was like a few updates before.
You don't mess with the bullfrog?
I don't hate it.
Okay. It's kind of in between. Yeah. Because I was using the bullfrog for like months.
Oh, right.
That was my go-to.
I had to build with that from when I was playing Ground War. Not so much for Warzone itself, but when I was playing multiplayer Ground War, I was like, I had a bullfrog build.
Yeah.
And no that scope. Worked a lot more for that. Yeah. So, yeah.
What about, and then we'll move off this topic. Sorry, guys. I geek out on this. your assault rifle.
Oh, man. I don't
even. Because I switched from the Cooper Carbine to the STG.
That's what I'm using as the assault rifle now.
It's good, dude.
And I have an assault rifle class that's pretty much assault rifle and rocket launcher. So if I'm not sniping, I'll grab that. Oh, you're an RPG guy? Honestly, not really, but just because like...
Dude, I got a helicopter hit on... Dude, I hit a home run one night, dude. I blasted one from distance.
Oh, nice.
And I timed it to where the chopper like went in the trajectory. Right. And boom, and exploded. I wiped out their whole team.
That is a fantastic feeling.
But... Oh my, I felt like... I was on drugs.
My favorite one, though, is when you snipe the chopper pilot out with the headshot.
You've done that?
I've done that once. I have it on. I have a clip of it, too. I'll send it to you later.
Please do.
And like, I just have a friend who's just like, hey, there's a chopper. I just see me point up, like, boom, and then the guy just drops.
So, wait, hold up. Because I've never heard that. What happens when that happens?
The chopper starts going down. You get the headshot. The guy drops.
Wait, does the guy fly out of the chopper first?
Yeah, no, the guy drops down. Did you see the chopper starts going down, and you hope the rest of the team bails because that chopper's going down.
Okay, so wait. So the guy falls out of the chopper, then the chopper just explodes somewhere.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, it just starts going downward. Oh, because there's no pilot.
Oh, right. Yeah, so it just crashes somewhere. That's amazing, dude. How did that make you feel?
The fucking man. Yeah.
And this is the main battle royale, like the main, the big map.
Yeah, this was back when middle of the pandemic, we were just playing Warzone a ton.
We're doing it.
And that was when my sniping game was at the top because we had nothing to do but stay home and play Warzone all day long.
Because there's people that will watch us there. They play Warzone too. There's
nice,
gamers.
Nice,
give them three tips. How do you get better at sniping in Warzone?
Practice. That's literally all you can really do, right?
But don't cheat.
No, yeah, don't cheat for sure.
Do not cheat. It defeats the purpose of gaming, okay?
I mean, I use the same sniper rifle over and over and over again to the point where now I can understand the same sniper, same scope, so now I can understand ranges so that the bullet drop, I can kind of calculate it much easier than if I was constantly switching it up. Because where do I need to aim over his head to hit him?
Yeah.
Because I've been using the same setup since the beginning. I'm like, okay, if I just go a little bit right here, boom, that's a headshot.
Now, do you use the perks to help steady your hand? Because there's perks where you could be calm and be
My perks is usually ghost and... what's the other stealth? It's pretty much just be as stealthy as possible because I'm a sniper. I want to be off the radar.
No, but there's gun perks that could help your sniper. Like the breathing, like heavy breathing, like the...
Not too much. Once we're there, I don't need to hold the breath for that long. It's just sort of like, once we're lined up, you pause for a second, and then bam, that shot goes off. And then again, you just move because you don't want them to know where you're at.
So go through instincts then.
Pretty much.
Take the shot when you have the opportunity.
Again, go Wayne Gretzky, right? You miss 100% of shots you don't take. Yeah. So.
Oh, you played hockey too?
No, but just a great saying. Okay,
shout out to Wayne.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's just the motto.
That's another thing. You don't see a lot of Asians playing in the NHL.
No, you don't.
Zero?
I don't follow the NHL.
I haven't heard of any.
But
basketball? Not... Oh, no, you had Jeremy.
We had Jeremy, we had
Mao.
But again, only one at a time.
I want to see a little Vietnamese dude just cutting it up. You know, I want to see a 5'4" little Bugsy Mo's doing their thing.
Well, especially now with the age of Curry, right, where it's just hucking threes. And, like, I just would love to see this, you know, just an Asian dude show up and just has dead accuracy from logo.
Like 3-point range.
Just killing it from threes and beyond. Yeah. And you're like, can't stop him.
Yeah.
Just can't stop him.
Shout out to my main man, Terrence Ross. I met an NBA player playing Warzone.
Oh, okay.
So shout out to my main man, Terrence Ross, for the Orlando Magic.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, you meet all sorts of people.
Yeah, playing Warzone. Right. Like, oh, I'm really playing with him. I'm sorry, man. We'll get back to the. So how did it was a slow burn.
So I was in the video game industry, and this is how we got off topic. But
sorry.
I had no idea
you even played games. I had no idea you wrestled. Right. This is great.
So I was in the video game industry, and at the time when I first started working there, VR was the hot new like thing, right?
I got the Oculus there, dude. Nice. Oh,
yeah. So at the time, I was also man-whoring it up in San Francisco, and this girl I was hooking up with. She told me she had an opportunity. She had some friends that were doing this porn VR startup in Vegas, mm-hmm. doing full 360 pano porn stuff out in the desert.
Oh, I've seen that.
And so I was like, okay. She was like, you know, you'd be interested in investing. And I had some money. I was like, let's see what I could do with this.
How much of an investment? Just like, was it a starter company?
It was a starter company. Okay, I could probably throw some money in this and that. And see, why not? You know? But then like, I was like, well, let me... AVN's around the corner. I know that's the big thing. And I've always heard that porn's really good early adopters of new technology. Mm. So let me go see what the porn industry is doing in the world of VR before I start just dumping money into a startup company, right? Let me do my due diligence. Mm-hmm. Let me like figure things out. Mm-hmm. So that was the first time I went to AVN. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't with this idea to go into porn. It was this idea of let me see what porn's doing in VR so that I can see whether or not I should invest in this company because like here's an opportunity to make my money do something, right? So I go to AVN, and just by pure luck, chance, and circumstance, they put me on the same floor with the rest of the talent and so forth. So I'm like staying on the same floor with other porn stars and such.
Oh, right. And you're just there checking it out.
Yeah. And
were you the only Asian dude in there?
Might have been. Not at the convention, but just, you know, like just floating around doing my thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, again, there's a lot of fans and stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. there's Asian porn fans, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I wasn't the only person walking around. But there was this one performer that I ran into before the event even started, and then we ran again on the same floor.
A male performer?
Rooms. No, female.
Oh, female performer, okay.
And she just kept flirting with me, and we started flirting back and so forth. And we see each other all throughout the show, and she was very much like, you should really think about doing porn. You're cute. I'd work with you, this and this.
She said that to you?
Yeah.
Did that boost your confidence?
Oh, 100%. Because, I didn't go in there with intention to go into porn. I was just trying to check out VR stuff.
She was giving you confidence. Yeah. Confidence.
So, and then other performers, too, I ran into, like, they were very flirty and so forth. And eventually got to the point where I was like, okay, maybe there's something about this. But it wasn't really like it still wasn't really a thing, mm-hmm. right? So ultimately, I found out at that time, like, everybody was putting money into VR. So it didn't make sense to invest my money in the startup company when all these other big porn studios were also dumping tons of money in VR.
Yeah.
So I ended up not investing in that company. But the same girl who was friends with those people, turns out that back in the day, way back, way, way, way before... her ex-boyfriend was Jeremy Long, the Asian porn guy that came before me.
Yeah, his name got brought up too. Yeah. Dude, he's got a thick dong.
So,
yeah. Dude, so, I looked him up on Google, man. Yeah. He's like, dude, you know that guy?
We talked once online just through emails and stuff because she got me in contact with him.
So
small world, right? It turns out like so.
You think he come here?
I honestly I don't know his
story. Dude, I would have to blow out the red carpet for him.
There's.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. You can edit this out. I'm so sorry. But continue.
But yeah. So ultimately,
dude, I know his name. Yeah, man. I looked him up, bro.
Jeremy was the first guy that I talked to about like, just kind of about the porn industry and just like what's going on.
Is he cool?
He was a really nice guy. Really cool guy. Yeah. Again, we only talked via email and so forth. But he was a really nice guy. And then he ultimately kind of just. He just spilled the beans about the back-end production stuff, how much it costs for them to do the shoes, how they do the shoes, and so forth.
But he was in the game already.
Yeah, like, I mean, he was doing more of the smaller, he was doing smaller independent stuff with his friend or his producer guy. They were doing a site called Asian Schlong, and that was, like, their main thing, right? Like, so, and Jeremy was doing stuff, but yeah, like,
That's good stuff, really?
So
that's the name of it?
Yeah, that was the name of the site that they were doing.
That's amazing.
So me and Jeremy talk about it, and that's when he kind of spills the beans about the numbers of how it costs to do each scene and so forth. And that's when I went, oh, those numbers don't sound that bad. And
The male actors. Right.
Well, and then again, I had the money to invest in this thing. So I was like, what if I invest this money instead of in the VR thing? What if I invest in my own porn production company to do? And that was the beginning of my journey into this.
You invested in yourself, in your own production, in your own company.
Right. That's what the idea that started coming into. So and that was the game plan. So then,
what's the name of the company?
Right now it's East Meets West.
That's what's up. Yeah. We're gonna plug that at the end for sure.
So that was the game plan, and that was what I had laid out. So years later, I go to AVN again. This time with the intention of like, how do I get into industry? And I met agents that were interested. I met talent that was interested. Yeah. So this time I actually was networking and properly networked, had a good amount of connections and all this other stuff. And it was a lot better the second time around as trying to figure out how to get into this, into the industry. And so that's when I started figuring out the game plan. I was going to go in, I saved money and all this other stuff. Right. And then eventually, you know, I was planning to leave the job at the beer game company anyways, but I was still trying to save up a little more money.
Yeah.
But one of those serendipitous, everything kind of worked out the right way type situations, there was management change. A new management came in, new management cleaned house. They laid me off, which sounds like a bad thing, but I was looking to leave, and they said, hey, we'll pay you to leave. And I said, I will gladly take your money to get the fuck out of here.
Oh, wow. So, did your own thing.
Yeah, because I was planning to do it anyways.
Yeah.
And suddenly they were just like, here's a lump sum of money. Will you leave? And I was like, yes, I will. Thank you.
So what? I always wondered this. What was your first scene like?
My first scene, I shot it with Karma RX, and we booked a hotel room. It was a really nice hotel.
How big's the production? Like, how many people on the production?
For me, it was really small. It's just
a camera,
camera, tripod, me, the other person, right? Because I'm working on a shoestring budget.
Yeah, but I do
have some filming experience in the back in my background from my years skateboarding and stuff. I used to do skate videos and stuff.
Oh, I didn't even know you skate too.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, it's video. I mean,
I see around. I was gonna ask you stuff, but you know.
Oh, well, I didn't know they didn't. Thanks, Lumi. You didn't tell me he skateboarded. I mean, yeah, it's just, this is blowing my mind. So you booked your own hotel, you bought your own stuff?
Yeah, again, I had the equipment, again, from skateboarding and all that stuff. So I already had, that's kind of why the idea of starting my own production company made sense to me. Because
you had your own gear anyway.
I already knew how to film, I knew how to edit, and I knew how to do all that stuff.
Who taught you how to edit?
I taught myself because of skateboarding.
Oh, that's right. We're making skate videos.
Yeah. And so you learn to edit making skate videos, right? So I taught myself how to film. I taught myself how to edit. I did all that stuff through skateboarding. Mm-hmm. And then I taught myself graphic design after I graduated college. Mm-hmm. I graduated college with a political science degree, but I didn't really know what to do with it. So I went back to community college. And since I taught myself, my passion was film. But since I already taught myself filming and editing, let me learn some stuff that's more like
it makes sense.
Supplementary stuff to that. It doesn't make sense to go relearn filming and editing, right? So I ended up taking like Photoshop and Illustrator classes and stuff like that and learning how to use After Effects and stuff like that. And then that's kind of what got – I learned that stuff. And at the time, I was helping my brother with his startup business.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother just pretty much like, hey, I heard you're taking Photoshop classes and stuff like that. You want to do some graphic design work?
Mm.
And then I ended up teaching myself graphic design.
That's what's up.
Which is I ended up being a graphic designer at the video game company.
Right.
And then – so because of that, all that experience – When I talked to Jeremy Long about that, it clicked. Be like, I know how to film, I know how to edit, I know how to do designs, I know how to market, I know how to do all these things. Why not just start my own porn production company? Yeah. Because the numbers that he's given me seem pretty reasonable, and with the money I was looking to invest anyways, I could just invest in myself. I am a one-man operation already.
Right.
Why not?
That's amazing, man. So nowadays with technology, you're able to do it yourself.
Right.
You don't need a whole team.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And then, I got really lucky because I got lucky and unlucky at the same time where as I was transitioning from the old career to the new career, a pandemic sort of happened. Everything shut down. And I was like, oh, no, what am I going to do? But at the same time, OnlyFans just started popping the fuck off. So now
you got an OnlyFans?
Yeah.
He's got an OnlyFans. You got one?
Right.
Oh, dude.
So because of that, like all the money that people used to have to build your own website with payment processing and all that stuff.
What kind of content do you do on it?
I drop a boy-girl scene every single week on the OnlyFans.
On your OnlyFans?
Yeah, I've dropped the
news. Can we plug it real quick?
Yeah, onlyfans.com/TheLionEmperor.
Yeah, that's what's up, man.
So, yeah.
So how's that, like, how does that work? Because we've had guests on here that we've talked about. I don't know the ins and outs of that. Is it like Patreon, but
it's kind
more adult content?
It's how you want to run it. So just think of it as like, they set the foundation for how you build your website,
mm-hmm.
and then they give you the monetization tools. They're going to take a huge cut, of course, but you can do it however you want. So some people have a free OnlyFans where they monetize every message they send you. They put these clips up behind paywalls and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I like to do the more Netflix thing where it's like
It's your library.
Right. Here's a monthly subscription. Yeah, as long as you pay, you have access to the library. Mm-hmm. All my videos are here, and I've released a new scene every week for the last 6 months or so.
That's smart, bro.
So
yeah.
That's
you
the
got
way
East
I...
meets West, and then the OnlyFans. That's the other side hustle.
Right.
So you're like, yeah.
And then also, you know, once the pandemic happened, and it was 2 years of kind of hanging around the house, hanging out before the industry really started picking up again.
Mm-hmm.
It was just slowly bleeding me of my savings. So all that money I was going to invest in the business right off the bat, it went into surviving.
Right.
And then by the time things started lifting up again, it was like, oh, my war chest got a lot smaller. It's time for me to find an agent and start doing shoots for other people because I got to bring some money in as well. So now that's also how I ended up signing to the agency, shooting for other studios, shooting for some bigger studios.
Right.
And it's sort of how I got just lumped into I guess we kind of call it the circuit. You know, but it's how I'm part of that now.
That's
right?
Cool. How do you get like mentally ready? I mean, does it desensitize you? I always wondered that because your typical Asian guy, like we said off camera, I'm like, you know, Asian dudes, for the most part, they work their whole lives trying to meet one girl. You know what I mean? But it's like you're not in that at all. You're like, oh man, because
part of it was
scene.
Again, like, you know, I went through my giant man whore phase in San Francisco. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm nervous around women and vagina. I was like, no, I've not humble brag, but it was like my body count was triple digits before I got into porn.
What?
So like I man whored it up pretty good, right? And I broke 100 and I stopped counting afterwards because like, you know, like you can't at that point, like, at that point, it's just you're just being cocky at that point.
Right.
After like 100, I was like, OK, at this point, I'm not even counting anymore. And that was before I got into porn.
Oh, that's crazy.
And then so at that point, you know, going into porn, it's like, well, it's not like I'm nervous around women. And then also, you know, because of our wrestling background, once you've gotten your ass whooped in a singlet in a crowded auditorium in front of like an entire auditorium,
especially if you
get
headlocked to your back,
right? In a finals match where it's literally like spotlight on you,
yo, dude. That's,
like once that's happened
it's
to you,
demoralizing.
Then like what's being naked in front of like 20 dudes? Like, well, that doesn't mean anything anymore, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, I look for, I don't, you know, some people are afraid to go to the spa.
Right.
I don't care. I'm like, yeah, I'll be, you know, it's like we're bonding. Like,
you know, so for me, like, being in front of the camera on a set or so forth, it's like, I'm not getting my ass whooped in front of everyone right now.
Yeah.
So what am I embarrassed about? This is fine. This is just chilling. This is a collaborative team effort. Everyone's on my side.
Do you have a hard time sometimes getting hard?
Yes, just because, again, it's just human, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah,
it's depending on the situation. It's sometimes you're not in the most arousing situation. Sometimes it's like it's your non horny hours, right? Because it's like you know you got to be there at 8 o'clock.
Oh, in the morning?
Yeah. So it's like,
dude,
they got you there early in the morning, and then it's like maybe like 10 o'clock. They're like, okay, are you ready? And you're like, not really, but sure. Yeah. And then even then, it's like, you know, sometimes it's cold. Sometimes you're just like empty stomach.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of factors to it.
Right. Now, do you with your company? Can you hire talent?
Yeah.
Why don't you hire like a little Vietnamese dude? No, hear me out. Like a little Asian dude, right? His whole thing, like he's got like maybe like a Mexican mask or something. But then his whole thing is he comes like in two pumps.
Mm.
You know, it's like that'd be fucking cool.
I mean, maybe, but that's not exactly the representation I'm going for here, you know? Yeah, like if we're trying to maintain the Asian stereotypes, I wouldn't need to be here, right? Right? Like
that's just something I would want to see. I would want to see.
You know, exactly.
That.
You know, like, that's what we mentioned before.
Representation
matters.
I'm so sorry.
And for some people, if you need that representation, go for it.
Okay. I want to see niche stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or what? I mean, dude, that'd be cool if you had a whole Asian crew, though, of little dudes.
And that's kind of what
that's all. That's
know,
all I'm saying.
That's kind of what the goal is one day. That's like, you know, and also just mentioned before, this is the best time for Asian men in the porn industry because there's actually three of us actively in the circuit right now.
Right.
And again, it was before we talked about it, it could only be one.
No.
And now there's like three of us actually going around getting shoots, getting gigs, signed to agencies and all that stuff.
Okay, where, so let's put this out in the universe. Yeah. there's somewhere out there, there's a Asian dude in his dorm. Sad.
Right.
You know, zits all over his face, you know, looking at the ground, can't get a date. And what if he doesn't know this exists? Like, what kind of a thing would you like to say to him to encourage him? Like, hey, man.
You know, again, keep your head up, put in the work and effort, and if you put in enough work, enough effort, the paths will open up for you. Mm-hmm. But you got to put in the work, though, you know? Like,
so let's use Cho Sung-hui, the Virginia Tech, that mass murderer guy on camp. His whole thing is the reason why he lashed out and killed, you know, murdered people on campus is... one of them is because he couldn't meet women.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was like kind of like he was an incel.
He was the incel before the term. Before,
yes.
Yeah.
So I mean, what do you tell that guy?
Again, it's not that you need to be the best version of you that you can be. If you want to, because here's the thing, I think a lot of guys have this idea in their head that like I just could be myself, but I want to attract like the best version of the female out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, if you're not the best version of you, why would you attract the best version that you can, that you want, right? Like,
yeah.
So, and for me, for a long time, I don't want to ever be like, oh, girls didn't like me at all. But my insecurities was probably the biggest hurdle to me getting dates when I was younger.
Mine too.
Right.
And Christian camps didn't help.
Right.
At all.
And I mean, you know,
I would invite them to pray at the flagpole. Hey, you want to pray at the flagpole? We have a Bible study. Come, you know.
And that's to say, my insecurities about like my insecurities is also probably what led me to be good at wrestling, because I just kind of gave up on the idea that girls were into me, so I focused all my attention on wrestling. Mm. But when I got so good at wrestling that I was like the team captain, and
they'd come to your meets.
And then
you would look up and they'd be like, oh, there's
she is. But again, my insecurity didn't make me realize that that's what was happening. So it wasn't until like I was pretty much graduating my senior year did I realize all these girls thought that I was cute. Because like
you found out later?
Yeah.
Me too.
But then I also didn't get to take advantage of it because I graduated and then left.
Like, yeah, I mean, I'm talking to my cousin Eddie. My cousin Eddie was like, because he was a year behind me. He was a junior. I was a senior. Okay. And I didn't get laid. I was a virgin throughout high school.
Yeah, I didn't lose my virginity until college.
Me also, too.
I think I told this story on another podcast, but I had one chance to lose my virginity in high school. I did have a girlfriend, but we dated mostly during wrestling season. So like I didn't really have time
for her.
But did
the other students know that?
Yeah.
Did they write it in your yearbook?
Yeah. Everyone knew that we were dating. It wasn't
I'm telling you, they wrote, the females in my yearbook wrote, hey, maybe you'll get pussy in college.
Oh, no.
The girls. So that's what I'm implying.
Okay.
Did they know that you didn't get no girls?
No, they didn't know.
They
knew I had a girlfriend. They didn't know that we hadn't had sex because, again, we started dating in the middle of wrestling season. I was so focused on wrestling. And then when wrestling season ended, she got busy with her stuff. And then just the timing of us, we didn't really have a lot of alone time to like try. But then one night my parents had left town. So I had the night to myself. It was right before the league tournament. So she comes over and like we're messing around. Then, you know, she's like, hey, you want to? And then she grabs a condom and this and this. And I was so nervous, I didn't make it inside.
You pre-nutted?
Yeah. And then I had to embarrass. And then I had to pretend like, oh no, I'm just really like stressed out about tomorrow, this and this. And then like so forth. So
how much came out? A lot?
Probably a lot. So I didn't lose my virginity until college.
Me too.
And it wasn't until like a good chunk into college because
my
insecurity and
it was a couple semesters in, second year in college.
It was my freshman year in college, but it was probably maybe like two semesters in, like 6 months into college.
Was
that
a party or something?
No, I met a girl. I was dating her, but again, it was just I met her earlier in the year. We were dating, but my insecurities didn't allow me to like push forward to be like, hey, you want to fuck?
Yeah, right.
You know,
you know what? Like, is because like I had other Asian homies in high school, and just like all my other friends, they had no problem, and they would. There's this one guy, Sean, and he always had a new girlfriend.
Mm, right.
And I asked him, like, because I would do like the Elliot Rodger thing. I would like buy the new shirt,
right,
or like a new pair of Dickies. I'm like, hey, dude, like, get attracted now? I go, what's your secret? And he goes, you got to try.
Right.
I'm like, what?
You got to go out there and shoot your shot.
Well, I never tried. Like, right. That's such a, like, you know, profound thing. Now I'm like, oh, All these other cats that are right. They've never tried.
Right.
They just sit in their dorm rooms and they're just mad.
They're waiting for the pussy of their dreams to fall in their laps.
No, that won't happen. No, yeah. So, dudes, that's not going to happen.
Right.
You're going to have to do some actions.
That's what I'm saying. So, again, you have to be the best version of you possible.
Right.
And you still need to try when you're the best version of you. But that's the thing. Is like, once you're the best version of you that you can be, then what are you insecure about? You're giving them the best version of you. Then you just try. And you're not going to be everyone's cup of tea.
It's like baseball. You know? You're gonna miss. You're not going to hit a home run every time.
Again, like,
you'll get a couple hits. You know, you'll hit.
The greatest chef in the world is not going to be cooking food that everybody likes. You know what I mean?
He's going to make mistakes.
And there's going to be people who just don't like that style of food. It's too spicy. It's too It's just not their cup of tea. But you know what? You just take the L, be like, that's not the customer for me. You keep doing your thing, and you'll find people who like what you're offering.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
You know what? If I had my mind and I put it in that body, I would have won state. I would have dated this person.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, 100%.
And I always regret that. I lay in bed thinking about this stuff. I'm like, damn. Again, I could have done that.
I think the exact same way as you.
Because I had the skills to do it. I'm like, dude, I was right there.
I'm the exact same as you. Man. I have those thoughts too. You know, the people have like, what if you woke up in your 15-year-old body? And I'm like, I would dominate everything.
I would have been a four-time state champ. Exactly. I would have got scholarship. I would have wrestled for Penn State. Right. All of it.
I would have been exact same as you. I'm like, I would have been a four-time state champ. Then I would have been sponsored skateboard. I would have done all these things.
I think about that with skating too, because I was there. There was a moment where like all my homies were getting good. They were like, you know, like I was the last dude to learn the trick. You know, they're like tray flipping down. I'm like, how do you do that? But then even with that, I remember I'd skate with them. Like we used to skate like flat ground near these tennis courts.
Okay.
And then I was just dicking around, and then my homie Jamil was like, he was super good. He had crazy pop.
Oh, right.
He would do like over trash cans melancholy grabs, and I'm like, how are you doing that? But he was like, you gotta try.
Yeah.
You're not trying. You know you have to try when you skate.
Yeah.
I'm like,
the trick doesn't do itself.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta actually do
like
something.
I was doing it half. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could do a kickflip like where it's this tall, or you could really try to pop and
you can give 10% or you can give 100%.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things you learn, you're like, I've been giving 10% the whole time.
Especially with skateboarding, because if you do bigger stuff, you have to commit know what I'm saying?
Exactly. If you're not 100% committed, that's how you fuck up and hurt yourself.
Right.
So it's like, if you're going to go for it, if you're going for the rail, for the gap, for the stairs or whatever, you got to commit. You got to go for it.
So, since you brought up skateboarding, who are like some of top three skaters you looked up to growing up?
Oh, my God.
Because I got mine, too.
Right.
So I'm going to throw that on
you. Such
a
great, and that's such a hard one because
And
I've
how
so
did you
people,
get into skateboarding?
I had some friends in the neighborhood that just skated. And, just bored kids trying to learn ollie on that one kid who
power
could,
slides.
Right, and the one kid who knew how to skate could do a kickflip, and that was like the kickflip, like, but stopped in the cracks, you know what I mean?
And he was the king.
And he was the king, exactly.
He was the king of the neighborhood.
And then none of us could figure it out. But but he knew the concept of ollie. He kind of taught us the concept of ollie. Mm-hmm. We all tried all the time, failed miserably. And then my little cousin one day came over, and he's like, I got the skateboard. And I was like, let me show you how ollie. I know how to ollie.
Hey, what kind of board was it? Do you remember?
It was like a Walmart board.
Yeah,
it was
right,
a toy board.
Right.
I was like, I know how to ollie. Check this out. And I just went for it. And I got maybe about like this high off the ground.
Yeah.
But he was like, I was like, did the back get off the ground? He's like, yeah, I got off the ground. I was like, oh shit, I did a fucking ollie.
And my birthday
was coming up, so I asked my parents for a skateboard.
Did you buy it? At the surf shop? Because
yeah, it was like
a surf shop.
It was like a skate surf shop.
That's how they were back then.
Right.
Yeah,
and
then
I got my first skateboard for my birthday. And then from there, I just skated every day, just trying to.
And what's your favorite trick, like growing up? Like, still to this day, what do you like doing?
Tray flips all day long. It's just, they're fun.
I still can't do that.
Oh, it's all in that back foot snap. If you snap and scoop, you know, the front foot doesn't do anything.
Are you goofy?
No, regular.
Regular.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got some grip tape I want to give you after, too.
Okay.
Because I had Kelly Hart on here from the nightclub.
Yeah.
So shout out.
I met him one time back in the day.
But I'll give you, it's right there.
Okay. Nice.
Mob grip. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I was going to say, though, so I just started skating all the time.
Yeah. What about ledge tricks? Like, 50-50?
I love ledges.
What are your favorite things to do?
Backside tail slides.
You know how to do that, too?
Yeah, they feel great. They look great.
You can backside
like,
tail slide?
I have
to. Because it's kind of like.
It's the hardest basic ledge trick.
Yeah, it's behind you.
Yeah. So it's considered, it's like the, it's the top level of the basic tricks. If you could do backside tails, then you're like a competent skater. You know what I mean? Like anybody you see at the skate park doing backside tails, you're like, oh, this guy's good. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, like, for sure. Like P-Rod stuff.
If you could do a tray flip and backside tail, you're like, oh, this guy's good. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, like, that's so true. Yeah. Because crooked grind, you could kind of, by accident, lock into it. And you're like, I'm on it.
Right.
Because I've done that. Like, because I'm good at no slides.
Oh, okay.
So I've done that and I've gone into crooks, but I didn't intentionally mean to.
Okay.
But I've locked into them and then I'll look. But, you know, at the skate park, sometimes you'll look at their reaction. You'll be like,
also backtrack just because I love skate, talking about skateboarding. You said top three.
Yeah, top three.
Eric Costin, that was hands down like one of my favorite skaters, still is to this day. Mm-hmm.
What part stands out in his part in Mouse?
Mouse for sure. Mm-hmm. And then also just the girl, is still something I watch over and over again.
Okay. That's the top three.
That's
number one.
That's number one for me. He's to me, I think he's like the Michael Jordan of skateboarding, right?
His so part
like,
was dope.
Yeah. He's always ahead of his time, just amazing. Mm. Number two, I'm going to say I wasn't a fan of him when I was younger growing up, but I've grown to be a huge fan of him now, P-Rod.
I mean, that guy, he's like a mutant or something.
He
knows every trick.
He's still
progressing.
Right, and the thing is, he's been good at everything. At some point. He skated rails. He skated gaps.
His ledge
game. And then
he's
like, you guys are tired of seeing me jump down gaps? Let me just do ledges now. Let me show you what ledge game is about.
Dude,
like
he trips. Like I remember, you know, sometimes like, thank God for the internet, right? The tutorials.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, how does he do that? But he did a plan B. You know, they do those tutorial skate videos.
Oh, yeah.
But he was in those. Like, he taught you how to do all the grinds. And you first put your foot here. But I don't. They don't explain it like, they just say, approach the ledge parallel. But put then, your front you know, foot closer to the nose. Then you just do it, hop off, straighten out your board. But it's like, you know, there's more to that.
There's more, but there isn't at the same time. Because you skated enough to know that, like, there is technically more, but you can't really explain to somebody more.
You just have to feel it.
Yeah, you just have to do it, and you're like, it's done the way it looks. You just need to feel it internally. It'll click. It will make sense one day.
Right. That was a good one. So, Eric, but you know what's ironic is, you know, P-Rod looked up to Eric when he was a tiny dude. You know what I'm saying? Like when he was like him and who's the kid that was on the they were on the. It was before P-Rod was P-Rod.
It was him and
Spanky.
Kevin Long, Mikey Taylor, Sticky Stars.
Yeah, those guys. Yeah, that time.
Right.
Exactly.
And then number three on my list, PJ Ladd. So Wonderful Horrible Life, still hands down, probably my favorite video part of all time. I will watch that one all the time.
What is it about that video? Because I like that one too.
Yeah, it's because
his ledge shit was crazy.
It was everything. His part had everything.
Yeah, tech.
He did a switch frontside 360 heel flip down like an 8 stair.
Yeah, and you're back like, then. That was back in the day.
And like people still don't do that today. Like
right.
And so it was a part that was lines for days, ledge tricks that had never been seen or done at the time. Still jumping down gaps.
In his style.
Right. And with incredible speed, incredible, like, just style. And it was just everything about that part. It was just, like, if I had one part to show anybody to be like, this is the pinnacle of, like, skateboarding as an art form.
Yeah.
PJ Live, Wonderful Horrible Life. Here you go. Watch this. You know?
I can't disagree
and
with
then,
you.
And then, I mean,
can I throw a curveball at you, though? Because I didn't know you skated, but now you're getting me hyped. Shout out to my main man, Andrew Nicholas. I met a guy, again, playing Warzone.
Okay.
He's the Olympic coach for the men's skateboarding team.
Oh, nice.
So if you wanted, and I'm sure, if you watch, we could probably get a session at the barracks if he's around.
I actually have some friends who have the key to the barracks.
All right, so we'll edit that out.
Let's put it this way. In my college years, I really wanted to be a pro skater. So I skated a lot.
No, I'm skating for fun. No, because I would like to skate. If you're down, like just because exercise now. For me, it's exercise.
Sad part is I can't skate nowadays.
Why not?
I have injured myself about 6 months ago. I have a herniated disc and it was causing sciatica issues. So until that goes away, it's kind of like no skateboarding, no lifting, no heavy stuff. Honestly, I probably shouldn't even be fucking, but I need to work. So,
You can't even roll around, though?
I can maybe roll a bit.
We'll roll around one day.
But you know how skater mind is, right? Once I'm rolling, then like, I'm going to want to ollie. Once I'm going to want to do...
Yeah.
try something real quick. And then
it's just like, I can't.
Right. Yeah. No, I understand how
so
that is.
So it's, again, I'm in physical therapy. I'm doing all the stuff I can to try to fix
it. Well, when
it,
you
it
get better,
let's roll around.
Man.
Once I heal and so forth, I very much would like to get back on the board, and I very much would love to just like, let's roll around, let's go skate somewhere.
So my three, number one would be Daewon. So.
Oh, okay, nice.
I mean, just because his technical.
No,
I mean,
again, like that's not a bad number one.
That's
like,
alien.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's another guy, again, who kind of like P-Rod, dominated everything he wanted to dominate at the time. He's like, let me do all ledge tricks. Let me do all, you know.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to wrap it up. Sorry. And then number two, I got to throw in Guy Mariano.
Another great pick.
Yeah, Guy Mariano. And then number three. I gotta throw a San Diego Cat, Willie Santos.
Oh, that's another one.
Yeah, I gotta throw Willie.
I mean, since we're talking about, can I throw three close runner ups?
Okay, go ahead.
Just real fast. Yeah. Mark Suchu, Dennis Buzenitz, and Wes Kramer. Those three.
Oh yeah,
amazing.
That kid's he's a genius. That Mark Suchu.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah, his stuff's yeah.
He's an artist. Yeah, no,
yeah,
that's another one. If I had to show skateboarding as an art form, watch Suchu's Versco part.
Yeah. That freaked me out when I saw it. It freaked me out. All right, let's. Man, we went way past. We made an hour, right? Dude, you gotta come back and we'll talk more.
Sorry, we didn't actually go down your list as much.
We did, but I didn't know you played video games or
we didn't know that we
I didn't
were
skateboarding
like
rest,
Soul,
and
just,
the wrestling
you know, like,
and all that. I had no idea. This is great though. We discovered it as we went. Yeah. Let's plug your stuff, your company, your Instagram, all that stuff.
You can find me on Instagram under the_lion_emperor. You can find me on Twitter, The Lion Emperor, no underscores.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest way for most people is just, you can find me on Pornhub. Just search Leo Vice. My stuff starts showing up there.
Yeah, keep doing
and,
your thing,
yeah.
dude.
And all my, you know, you'll find my socials and all that stuff. If you're not sure if that's really my social or not, go to Pornhub, find it. And if it's it lists right there on my profile header where my socials and all that stuff.
Yeah. So. Would you have freaked out if like you came in and I was like watching one of your videos naked?
Wouldn't be the weirdest thing, but... Like, so it's one of these interviews.
I'm so sorry. All right, we can edit a lot. Hey, you know, I was just trying to make it fun, you know what I mean? Thanks for tuning in for another episode. If you want to help support the content, go to patreon.com/StevieWeeby. My website's down, still working on it, want to revamp it. So, Scissor Bros. I'll go to youtube.com/Scissor Bros. That's the other podcast that I'm doing with comedian and my friend Jeremiah Watkins. Those episodes drop every Friday, so make sure you go and watch those episodes every Friday, okay? And subscribe if you haven't subscribed. Instagram/QUANGOU, StevieWeebyBandcamp.com for all the music. If you want to send any packages or mail, send all your stuff to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California 90093. Dude, it was awesome having you, dude.
Awesome.
That was fun. Hell yeah.